Tonight, we have Marines in studio to recap another Semper film screening. Elliot Serrano rides sidecar as we, of course, play What's in the Box and get a weekend windup. All that with drinks from Knife and Tyne right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Craig, there are a lot of people on Michigan Avenue right now. I get a feeling like something was going on, like maybe some sort of big event, something where a lot of people got together.
We haven't heard of anything. I haven't heard.
I don't really know. The traffic thing, I apologize to the Marines who are joining us in studio because I asked them to come downtown on an evening, which is perhaps the most traffic-ridden. There was a Cubs game. There was this music event that I've heard of that in the past has caused problems, and tonight it's been in particular. I was coming into the studio at about 6 o'clock, and on Michigan Avenue, a tow truck dragging a double-decker bus broke down on Michigan Avenue at Illinois and Michigan, blocking all southbound lanes of Michigan Avenue. So anyone who was coming into the city at around anywhere about 6 to 6:30, and you're like, why is nothing moving? That was because that was the particular moment when a tow truck pulling a double-decker bus broke down. That's one of those moments, Elliot, when you think, really, did you have to tow the truck onto Michigan Avenue during rush hour? Maybe you could hold off until things sort of dissipate a little bit. Maybe you want to drive straight. Maybe you want to take Illinois down, like, you know, go that way. You know what? Why would you drive into the eye of the storm? That's like that boat.
Well, isn't that
with George Clooney, and he's like, he thinks he's going to make it, and
Perfect Storm,
and
yeah.
Mark Wahlberg's like, you know, he backs him, but he's doubtful. Mm-hmm. But no, Clooney thinks he can make it. That tow truck driver definitely thought he could take those fish back to the market.
He probably also went on Lakeshore Drive during that big storm when everyone was trapped on.
He's why Roger Badish was in his car for many, many hours.
Yeah. So, I guess that's the thing. It's like right around here we say, why not? I look at a traffic jam and people ask why. I say, why not?
And there's a lot of foot traffic. I went down to the Billy Goat, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but I took Gunnery Sergeant Villarreal and Sergeant Paraca to the Billy Goat, and there were a bunch of people we believe were coming in from Lollapalooza. And
if they weren't coming from Lollapalooza, I don't want to know where they were coming from.
Was that girl just wearing a shirt? Was she not wearing – you can talk. I can put you on the microphone, Sergeant Paraca. Did you want to say something? That girl was only wearing a shirt, wasn't she?
No.
She was – there was nothing else.
I was not paying attention.
I'm sure. She was only wearing a shirt.
For folks who aren't picturing what we're trying to say here, she was only wearing a shirt.
Only.
That was it. There was nothing else.
This girl's dressed. Look, she's got a jean vest. I like the way this girl's dressed. She's got a jean vest. Nice, cute dress. Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm just saying, a fan of the jean vest and dress. Yeah, this is well put together. No, you look lovely as well. Oh, she's like, I'm going to keep walking if I'm not looking good. You are. Yeah, that was you needed to put a jean vest on that hair, sir. I'm being flashed. That just, you know what? I invited that. I addressed the folks on Michigan Avenue, and it was my own fault.
I want some of that. That's what I want. I want some of that. Yeah.
You kind of like a guy who wears a shade, wears the shades at night.
Shades at night.
Yeah, you know why? His future's so bright.
He's got to wear shades.
He's got to wear shades. So. Yeah. Oh,
not now. What's going? Now
is that Kid Rock? Is it? No,
Kid Rock has hit on hard times. I don't know if you've seen him.
Yeah.
He's gone viral.
That guy knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. He's like, oh, she's talking about
him. He's gone viral.
Not you, sir. Not security. Security just brushed them off.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes, I was talking about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
The skinnier dude.
Tell Kid Rock I loved his last album.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're a little distracted by Michigan Avenue right now. Clearly, I can't. Those of you at home on the live stream, you can see the madness going on Michigan Avenue, the traffic. If you are downtown in your car, turn on WGN Radio. And if you heard me say that, you've already done that, and I appreciate it.
But tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Roll down your window and tell your neighboring cars to please listen to WGN Radio.
Well, do like those folks do, where you listen to the radio or your stereo obnoxiously loud.
Mm-hmm.
But so everyone can hear it.
What is it like to listen to talk radio at an obnoxious volume? Because it's not really as bad as the bass making your clavicle vibrate next to the car.
You obviously have not listened to me turn up NPR.
Everyone out there, please, on NPR. People blaring you on NPR.
Really, boom.
I need everyone to make sure that everyone is listening to WGN in the cars next to you because we will help you get home. Do we know why that white car is still there? That SUV's been there for a little bit, security. I'm just saying, if you want to check that out. I feel like I'm helping security
Somebody's out. Uber is waiting.
Oh,
See, because these days you can't tell anymore. You know, cars just stop here and there.
He's telling him to move along.
Yeah, there you go.
I just made that happen. I have so much power. Be careful on Michigan Avenue. I will have security deal with you. He just told him to move along.
It's not an exaggeration, folks. She seriously
just
is.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
So I'm just waiting for, was it the last time I was here? There was like a quinceañera came by.
Yeah.
You know, there was like
when weddings come by on Michigan Avenue. Everyone's celebrating tonight. It's a beautiful night. Well, it is a great night in Chicago. I'm a little bit pumped today. I'm going to say it was hard for me to go to sleep last night. I know that everyone listening has different thoughts when it comes to this season's election. But as a girl, as a woman, let's say, I have passed the point. I've been struggling with girl power all day and wondering if I should just move on to woman power.
Well,
I think, have you felt something different from women today?
From women? They're just a little bit.
A little bit more of a bounce in our step?
A little bit more of a bounce. And then when you're walking down the street, they don't like just walk behind you. They're like, I'm getting ahead of you, buddy.
Like our shoulders are back a little bit more?
Shoulders are back a bit.
Our strides are a little more forceful and stronger.
You
tell us to smile. We're like, you smile. I'm not here for your pleasure. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And several months ago, I had the honor of being invited to an educator's workshop in San Diego by Chicago Marine Corps. The United States Marine Corps, but the Chicago recruiting centers, in particular the Midwest Marine Corps recruiting centers. Sergeant Paraka, who is their marketing media expert. Outreach. What's your exact title, sir?
Marketing and Public Affairs Director.
I've heard it that way too. Let me write that down. Can you write that down for me? Is it committed to memory? Marketing and Media Affairs.
Yeah, we'll go
Director.
With that. Yep. Yeah, that works.
What did you say?
Marketing and Public Affairs Director.
Public Affairs.
Public Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
There's some media in there.
And I think this worked out very well. And that first interview with you, we discovered you had never seen the movie A Few Good Men. And once we pulled that thread, we found out you hadn't seen many military movies. And I was curious as to how those movies sort of translated for you now, having been trained as one of the world's greatest warriors. Would that be an accurate description of what you've been through? That's what you're trained. You're trained to be warriors. You're trained to be, people who defend us, young men and women who will stand on that wall. And that was why I had asked you, because in that movie we talked about last month, you know, we want you on that wall. And that was one of the things that always rang true with me in A Few Good Men. We do.
Yes.
We do want you on that wall. And we also want on that wall Gunnery Sergeant Eric Villarreal, who you get to come close to your microphone because I know you have a big booming voice, but I'm still going to need you to come. Look at Sergeant Paraka helping you out. So we had an interesting choice tonight. We have seen so far Stripes. We have seen the Heartbreak Ridge with Clint Eastwood. We saw A Few Good Men. And tonight my husband suggested The Great Santini, which had also been suggested to you, Gunnery Sergeant Villarreal. Why did they recommend it again?
The nickname, The Bull, in there, and I didn't know that that's what they were calling me. And in the movie, they were calling him The Bull as well. So.
Yeah, he's a little bit headstrong in this movie. For anyone who hasn't seen The Great Santini, it's an amazing drama that I've forgotten about. I was very little and didn't understand any of it. Elliot, had you seen this movie?
I remember seeing it as a kid as well, yeah.
I think for me it was uncomfortable because I didn't really understand so much of the, I mean, I got some of the pain of the family, but I didn't get a lot of the why he was that way. And I understood it more today than I did before.
Yeah, well, when you're a kid, you don't always understand why your parents sometimes treat you the way they do, what their pasts were like, that a lot of times they are dealing with their own, they are dealing with their own issues, and it kind of like is reflected in the relationships that you have with them.
And the movie opens with, Robert Duvall plays a Marine pilot. Can you tell me a little bit about the pilots that fly for the Marines? Sergeant Paraka, if you want to.
Yeah, the pilots that fly for the Marine Corps, they're very well trained. They spend a lot of time in school, a lot of time practicing, and they don't have a lot of time to actually exercise their skills in combat. So their practice time is their glory almost. And then it prepares them for that time when they do get to fly the combat missions and actually serve their country in combat.
So we see a little bit of their aerial acrobatics. They're sort of doing war games with the Navy.
Yes.
In the opening scenes. And then there's a bit of a party scene after that, which was a lot of fun to watch because Gunnery Sergeant Villarreal was mentioning that that kind of stuff, not necessarily to that extreme, but, you know, because people want to buy you drinks when you guys are out and partying. Definitely. Have you ever gotten in trouble with any officers when you've been out having a good time?
Not necessarily with the officers, but definitely find ourselves in positions. Just recently, we had a mess night that we ended up in the local area. We're not going to say where.
Okay.
In uniform. And, you know, Chicago is a great city where they definitely want to say thank you. But then you get some people that just want to come up to you and they want to let you know what their political views are. Or they want to let you know what their view. So it's both sides of the house. But yeah, definitely you'll find
political
yourself.
Views. That's weird. That they want to engage you in, like, they want you to see their side of what they believe sometimes?
Yes.
Oh. Well, you heard Elliot and I talking. Like, we're not going to try to make you believe what we think. But at the same time, we're just having a conversation. We don't like getting contentious unless other people get contentious. I'm sorry that that happens.
Oh, no mind. I just kept drinking.
As though it's your responsibility to decide. Keep drinking. As though it's your responsibility to decide how much is spent on defense or how we're taking care of our veterans.
I always call the president. You know, yeah. He's kind of upset there for a second.
Yeah, get right on the phone with him. Yeah, no, that's that seems... hey, everybody come over here for a second. If you see young men and women in uniform, just say thank you. You don't have to argue. You don't have to, do they think that that somehow they're going to change your mind?
Yeah.
Oh, they do.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Okay,
they do.
Yeah, you're not going to. They're you know what? They're adults, and they're trained warriors, so why don't you slow your roll just
up.
A little bit? Back
and,
up.
And vote. I mean, if you want to say something, get out and vote. Just stop, you know, the folks who are doing the job that our government tasks them mm-hmm. to do. They're doing their job. Our job is to vote.
Yeah.
Just
that's everybody's job.
Yeah, if you want to say something, say it in a vote.
Have a voice.
That's right.
There you go.
What's a mess night?
Mess night's a formal dining in for the military staff, military members only. Fortunately, we do not invite spouses to this event.
Fortunately or unfortunately?
Unfortunately.
Okay.
Hey, it's both. What do you think?
Yeah.
I think it's both. I don't know if my wife really wants to see me and the guys acting like that. And
it's a time for us to build that brotherhood, sisterhood, and actually get together as Marines. You know, put all the work aside. We're not allowed to talk shop. We're just there to be Marines, be together, and be happy, and the successes of one another.
And that's what we see kind of in that scene where, although they push it a little bit, they get a little rambunctious, would you say?
Definitely.
And I'm not going to go into any details because I think that Great Santini is a movie that if you have not seen or if you have not seen it in a long time, it's a movie to revisit because it's so good. And then we start going into his family life. And how did that feel, like kind of seeing, because that's really what the movie is about. There's very little of being on the base. What you see is what he brings home as a Marine. Mm-hmm. How did that strike you?
I just saw my wife and my son the entire time.
Did you really?
That's what it felt like. Not like I'm the jerk like he was in the movie, but mm-hmm. just the way he interacts, the listening, the moving around, the, you come home and you try to be the military guy like you are with your Marines, and you can't necessarily do that with your family. You have to find a good balance between your work life and your personal life, and bringing it home isn't always the right thing to do.
And you have to figure out what those elements are that work for your child and for your wife, because
yes.
you have a young son and your beautiful wife, who I look forward to meeting someday. But you mentioned that at the end of the movie, you're like, yeah, when I go, we pack up and go on the road. You leave at what time?
03.
Zero. That's the same time as Robert Duvall makes his whole family pack up the car to leave. Is it 03?
It's so weird.
What's 03? Why 03? I know,
you
but why?
You got to beat everything. My wife wanted to go to San Francisco. That's why we'll do it. We have two boxers, which we don't have any kids, so they're our pets.
Right.
And we go to the dog-friendly hotels, and her idea was we're going to go up, we're going to stop at places, we're going to have a good time. My idea is we're going to get to San Francisco as fast as possible. The Marine Corps way. We're going in a direct line as fast as possible, planning, pack, everything's mm-hmm. fueled. At 03, we're waking up and we're rolling. And about, you know, seven and a half hours going up to 5, we're there.
Yeah.
And she's looking at me like, you just turned this vacation into like a little mission. And then you got a checklist of places that you got to see and do, take the picture and...
Take the picture and go. We're done with and done.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you find yourself making would something, you know, watching this movie, would you see yourself kind of going, okay, I see where maybe being rigid might push me in a certain direction where she feels constrained by that?
I think so. Bring home work. I mean, we're, you know, alpha driven organization where you want to make decisions, you do make decisions. And I think the other night we're sitting on the couch and some stuff was just going on at work where I really don't throw stuff at her.
Right.
And she kind of says, well, what's going on? And we're just getting to Chicagoland area, stepping into a command billet. And she saw the problem. It was weird. It was kind of the slide.
The problem you had at work, she could see.
Not necessarily was a problem. It was just something that I wanted to do that I wasn't sure how to go about it. And just talking to her, and it, to me, it was like, I got to make the decision. I got to make this call. This is going to be me. And she just worked it out in her woman brain.
With a different perspective. Outside of the military. Because you guys adapt. You improvise. That's one of the things I learned when I was in San Diego. Mm-hmm. But you also, but you do it within the constraints of your military training. Yeah. So somebody as a civilian can kind of go, why don't you just do this? Is that frustrating sometimes when someone says, why don't you just do this?
I think it's more of a relief for me.
Okay.
At that point.
Yeah, I think it's kind of annoying when they make it sound like it's easy, like it's no big deal, or we haven't thought of it already.
Oh, that would be annoying. Yeah. That would be annoying. So they get in the car at 3 a.m. They make their way through. And the car scene is wonderful because later it's also relevant again. Yeah. And it's a lovely family moment. But when they get to their town and they're rolling up to their rental property, they all think that the Great Santini has, you know, going to get another property that's horrible. And they get to this beautiful property. You nodded your head. Is this not uncommon with military, like with officers getting big, beautiful homes like that? Is that something that happens?
No, they do.
They do?
Yeah, they do.
That's like a big, like a mini mansion with a wraparound porch. It's a dream house for many people. Is that something? So, because you've bought property here in Chicago recently.
Yes, in Hanover Park.
In Hanover Park.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at you, like, shout out to Hanover Park. I love it. I often ask people where they're from and they won't tell me. You're like, Hanover Park.
Hey.
So is that something you aspire to at some point in your career, that getting to that level of like, this is where I can have my family live? Do you have an idea of where you want to go next, or are you in Hanover Park for the time being?
Oh, well, right now I'm in Hanover Park. I definitely plan to move on to bigger and better things as far as property goes. It's just going to take some time. But definitely that day will come where I roll up to the new house with the family and they're in shock and awe. And
you're going to surprise them like that?
I'm happy and yeah. I'm proud of being a good father and husband.
Providing. Yeah. I mean, so do you know how long you're going to be somewhere? How often do you get a new assignment?
Typically, it's about 3 years on average. It could be shorter or longer depending on your situation.
Okay. So being in marketing and public affairs.
Well, no, that... I do public affairs full time in the Marine Corps, so no matter where I go, that's going to be my job, unless I do a special duty such as recruiting your drill instructor.
Mm-hmm.
But 3 years per the duty station.
Okay, 3 years. So you're here probably for about 3 years, having come here from San Diego, and your wife being a California native, that's got to be a little rough around the edges considering the weather.
We actually were lucky enough to be here for about a little over 6 years before, and then go to San Diego. And she got to choose where we want to live downtown at the Gas Lamp, and had a good time. And,
that is fun.
But coming back, it was, we're going to live on the north side. I have a place in Northwest Indiana already, so was not going to move back there. It's already being taken care of. So that was, at that point, was going to be like, where we're going to live at. And you're looking at stuff online, you're trying to like look at little lines here and there, what neighborhoods are good and bad.
Welcome to the neighborhood that I am familiar with. Yes, I think definitely. You made a great choice. I won't say unless you want to.
No, I'm in Mayfair by the Irish Cultural Center. Yeah. I think it's a great neighborhood.
I think Kathy O'Neill would be happy to hear you say that.
Yeah, I think I love it.
And Jeff Fest all this weekend. I forgot to mention that this week. We are hanging out with Sergeant Paraca and Gunnery Sergeant Eric Villarreal. Also with Elliot Serrano, our Chief Geek Officer. Does it sort of weird when I do the titles?
Yeah.
Does it seem like it's a little off balance?
Definitely. Yeah, the Marine. Dork.
No. Not at all.
Give me a line.
There you go. See, they've a wonderful warmth for you. I think that's a...
I appreciate
you have
that.
A place in their heart. More after this on 720 WGN.
I'm Rob Martier on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Go! Yeah!
Sorry about that. Yeah. I got very dramatic there for a second.
Well, actually, I got scared.
Just keeping you on your toes.
I mean, I like the music.
Hold on. I don't even...
You really banged that one in there. I like it.
Do you want me to end all of your news segments like that? Hey, what if the conversation changes?
I'm Rob Martier on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. No, we could do this all night.
Obviously. Well, I mean, like, I could do this. No, that's too low. I like that one. No, I think we were better here. That's perfect for Rob Martier. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, learning how buttons work. We are talking about our segment of Semper Film, where we watch military movies with our Marines. And I do say our Marines because you're my Marines. I believe that's how you were dressed up in the newsroom by Roger Badish, who said, oh, I've been talking to your Marines. We have Sergeant Paraca and Gunnery Sergeant Villarreal. We watched The Great Santini tonight. Joining us also is Elliot Serrano, who was dog sitting, so he couldn't join us. And that just sounds so manly. Can I just say you were...
I was dog sitting. Couldn't go anywhere last
But you
time.
Have seen the movie. Yeah. And what I loved about this movie is that it's sort of quietly built. We get the idea that he's a beloved Marine, actually. And didn't you kind of love him from the very beginning?
Oh, yes. Very, very good Marine.
Yeah. How about when he attacks that corporal in the bathroom?
Yeah, that was pretty intense.
Have you ever heard of stories like that where an officer just kind of goes after somebody?
Not in my day.
Not in your day?
No.
Gunnery sergeant? No.
He attacks an officer.
He attacks his corporal in the bathroom and basically gives him a swirly and tells him that's, you know, that there were Marines doing that during Pearl Harbor, and he also accuses him not being clean enough. He had not taken care of himself.
He said two wipes is insufficient.
It is what he said. It seems intense that he would be observing that closely. It's a great scene.
I bet. I'll ask you gentlemen, because you would know best, because we've talked about this before, right? How things were, again, back then in that day. And Sergeant Paraca, you've talked about how it was kind of before your time. And when we're talking about A Few Good Men. But have you ever, in your experience, noticed there's kind of a difference in dealing with some of the folks in the military who have been through, you know, war, combat, and then the ones that kind of haven't?
Right, where they feel it more intensely. There's more urgency, I think, to how they treat other soldiers.
You know, I think it all just depends on what unit you're with and the camaraderie and brotherhood that they have. If you go to some infantry battalions that are real small, out in the middle of nowhere, and it's just them, mm-hmm. More stuff like that will happen. They'll have more brotherly bonding, if you will. Where if you come to units with a commander and it's a big headquarters type unit, that stuff isn't going to happen because you have the commanding officer walking around, the sergeant major walking around. It's more, I would say,
controlled.
Controlled professional environment. Whereas the infantry Marines that are out in the field, they're there to get their job done and win America's battles. They're not so worried about how they look or some of the things they say. They're worried about getting the job done, making sure the person to the left and to the right stays alive.
Well, and that's what I learned when I was at the depot, was the general came out and told us, you know, because he was talking to the educators, he was talking to parents who were there, because it was also the day of graduation, and he said that he could guarantee that, I can't guarantee that your son or daughter will never be hurt. They won't be, and I know they'll be in harm's way, but I guarantee that the men and women in front of them, to the left and right of them, and behind them, will be as highly trained as possible to be there for them. And I think that comes through. Is there a moment of, when you're watching a movie like The Great Santini, and you see this story being told, and I have to be honest with you, this is based on a father-son relationship. Pat Conroy, his father was a decorated pilot in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. He gave himself the nickname, the Great Santini, when he was doing aerial acrobatics over Lake Michigan, and he felt so great when he landed. He compared himself to this acrobatic artist that he saw as a child named Santini. Yeah. The Great Santini. So it was a very violent relationship. His father was never able to, during Pat Conroy's childhood, separate who he was as a Marine and what he'd been through and what he brought home with him. When you see something like that, you were mentioning a little bit about your relationship with your son, but do you see other people who aren't able to separate sometimes that intensity of being with the Marines and going through that, you know, whether it's watching other Marines be killed in action, or, you know, knowing that they are killing people, having to do the job that none of us can or want to do, most of us, you know, how do we separate that when you're watching, when you are dealing with civilians, with your family members?
Well, it's a hard question because everybody deals with it differently. I've never seen it or experienced it personally.
Right.
But what I can say is there's lots of resources out there. When you're coming back from deployments, they have programs. If you need help, if you need to talk to people, if you need some downtime, they have stuff like that available to give you that time to get back in the American mindset. Hey, you're not over here anymore. You're back home. This is family life. This is day-to-day operations. This is how you need to conduct yourself. And I know the resources and opportunities and programs are there and available.
So make sure you reach out. And ask. The
yes.
hardest part can sometimes be asking. I mean,
yes.
I can't see a guy like Great Santini asking. We see him struggle with that.
Yes, but the great thing about the Marine Corps is everybody has a mentor. whether you want one or not, you have a mentor, somebody that's going to look over you and somebody that is ultimately responsible for you. So they, the mentor, the leader should be advising you or telling you to go do that stuff if you can't make that decision on your own.
Because when I was at the Marine Corps Recruit Depot in San Diego, I remember you explaining what a pocket discussion was. So they sort of have this these conversations, and we were there for domestic violence and substance abuse. And we see in the movie very quickly Robert Duvall sort of, you know, everything is intense. This family obviously has, they're showing sort of what the routine is, what's expected of them. But all of a sudden, everything falls apart during this basketball game that Robert Duvall plays with his oldest son. And by the way, to have cast this actor who is pretty incredible as a basketball player, as an actor, I was kind of thrown off by that. He was an actor on Roseanne as well. I have to look him up in just a moment when I get a chance. But, you know, was that kind of hard to watch too, because you've been in those there's a macho intensity, the competition you've had with anybody, but to see it between a father and a son now becomes like tormenting and taunting and trash talk. And the more the son was trash talking, did you get nervous for him?
No, we didn't get nervous. And I think it was kind of tying back into what Sergeant Paraka was saying, is when we see these things, it's not just going through and talking to that person. We also talk to the families about what to expect when their Marine comes home.
So interesting.
To see that.
Right.
Like,
I'm thinking
if that was today, somebody would have stood up and immediately grabbed that Marine and pulled him to the side. It just doesn't happen like that.
Right.
So,
well, because you could see the mom start to get, she could see where this was getting worse and worse as her son was, you know, calling him old and making fun of him. And hey, you know, none of us have ever beat you in anything, in dominoes or checkers. And he beats him, and the dad changes the rules. And it was uncomfortable, and it gets worse from there. We're talking about The Great Santini. It's a military movie we chose for this month's Semper Film with the Marines. Jana has a suggestion for our movie for next month. What do you think, Jana?
I would first like to thank the young men for their service. I've been a Marine mom for 19 years. My son's a EOD OIC, and I think they should see The Rules of Engagement. I like that movie.
Oh, with Tommy Lee Jones?
Yeah, my son was an embassy guard for about 3.5 years, way, way back early in his career. He loved it. He had a good time, and fortunately he didn't have any bad places that he was at. But he's seen active duty twice in Iraq and 3 times in Afghanistan. But I like that movie. I don't know if any of you have seen it. But, yeah, I like it. I think that's a good Marine movie.
I think that's an excellent suggestion. Have you seen a lot of I've been to the graduation in San Diego. Where did your son train?
San Diego.
And what was that graduation like for you?
It was, I have to brag. He graduated second out of 485 as Lance Corporal. So we got to sit. Yeah, I know. We got to sit in the tent. My younger son was like, ooh, we're VIPs. And I was like, yeah. He moved up pretty quickly. But I hadn't seen him in 3 months. You know, I was like going nuts because he graduated high school on a Friday and left for the Marines on a Sunday.
What?
So I know, it was like so hard to see him go, and then I got a 10-second phone call. I'm fine. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah, I will contact you in 2 weeks. Do not try to contact me.
And then to get the hardest part, though, I'll tell you, during the 3 months was when I got his last will and testament in the mail.
What's I don't think I'm familiar.
Yeah, they have to sit down and write their last will and I don't know about now, but back, he graduated in September 97, he had to write a copy of his last will and testament just in case. Wow. And boy, that was hard to get in the mail.
I can imagine, Jenna. Is he still in the Marines?
Oh, yes, ma'am. He just celebrated 19 years June 9th.
Well, congratulations.
He's cooler.
Where is he? Where is he stationed?
He is stationed. He's out at Camp Pendleton. He's an officer in charge of EOD.
And when's he coming? When's he coming home next? When do you see him again?
It depends if I can get out there, because he's got a wife and 6 children.
Wow.
So, he might have that big house that we're talking
about.
Good on
you, Grandma. Yeah, you may have to go out and see him.
I have one other thing I have to brag about. I'm very deep in the Marine Corps family. My great uncle, Felix DeWeldon, sculpted the statue of Iwo Jima in Arlington Cemetery.
Oh,
very nice.
That's amazing, Jenna.
It is amazing. Yeah.
What would you tell... Jenna, as a Marine mom, what would you tell other parents whose kids come to them and say, hey, I was talking to a recruiter? What would you tell those parents if they're scared, if they're nervous, if they're apprehensive about supporting their child?
They shouldn't be, because I know when my son said he wanted to go in the military, I took him to all four recruiters, five, I should say, Coast Guard two, and I let him make the decision. And he came to me and said, I've decided in the Marines. And it was hard because he went in delayed entry his senior year, and I had to sign the papers. And his recruiter was sitting there, and he looked at me. He goes, Mom, you are going to sign those papers. I was joking around with him. I said, yeah, I'll sign them. I never let him see me cry because I was scared for him. I was worried, but you know what? It was one of the proudest moments that day he graduated. I was crying, but I was it was joyful crying. You know what I mean?
Of course.
I was so proud of him, and I still tear up. It's been almost 20 years, and I still tear up. But I was just so proud of him because he'd started to mature, but those 3 months just kicked him into adulthood, and I honestly think it should be mandatory, but that's me. I think it's good for young men and young women because it's got discipline and it organizes them. And what it did for him was just amazing. And that's all he ever wanted to do was go in the military.
Can I tell him, let him do it.
Let him do it. If that's what they want, let them. You can't stop your children from – you can't – my dreams got stepped on, so I told my kids, you're going to do whatever you want to do. I'm not going to stop you. And he said to me, please, I want to go. I said, fine, you're going.
Were you tough on the recruiter when he came to your house?
Oh, yeah. I adored him.
Some of my favorite evenings were spent at family's dinner tables, and the dad looks up and says, hey, do you want a beer? And I said, no, sir, I'm on duty right now. I apologize, I cannot have one. And he shakes his head, looks at me, grabs his own beer, and walks out. And mom's just looking at me and crying and look at the kid like, it's going to be okay. We're going to get you a good job. And the kid's like, no, I want to go infantry. I want to do infantry. You know, Mom, I'm going to go out and do these bad things, and I'm going to become this man. And the mom's looking at me is like, I swear to God, we did not have this conversation today. Like, we were talking about mechanics and computers and all this other stuff. And all of a sudden, I'm in the middle of this war zone. And the mom's looking at the kid, and the kid's looking at his mom smiling. And she's looking at me crying, and I'm just looking at a piece of paper. Like,
that's intense.
9 o'clock, and my dinner's in the microwave. Here I am,
so
trying
wild.
To find the dad for that. Trying to find the dad for that beer, but he already sat on the paper and left.
That's great.
Our recruiter became part of our family. He really did. He used to come over a lot, and then, his senior year of high school, I used that as discipline if he got a little out of hand, and he ditched one time, and his brother. I called the high school and reported him, and I didn't tell him until the night of his graduation dinner, and his recruiter was sitting next to him. Thank God. And that's when he found out I called in for ditching because I told him I wouldn't tolerate it. And he looked at me like he was going to kill me. And his recruiter goes, pull that temper down.
Wow. Jana, what an amazing mom you are. I think you need like mom recruiters, other moms who've been through this to recruit other moms. I'm just saying, to get them on board.
Well, oh, yeah.
I'm on Facebook. I'm in a couple of Marine mom groups. You know, we talked with each other and some of the new moms coming in. But, you know, it is a big family. Anytime I see Marines, you know, I thank any veteran or any active duty person I see because I'm grateful for them. Mm-hmm. My entire male family on both sides was in the military. So, you know, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here.
Well, we're definitely grateful for you, too, for definitely supporting us while we're gone.
Well, I love all you guys, and I've always said if there's anything you guys in the Chicago area, you need a meal or you need a place to stay, you're more than welcome to come to my house.
Well, Jana, you know what's nice about that? Where are you calling from, the 971?
Well, actually, this is it's an Oregon thing. My youngest son bought me my phone, so it's on his line out of Oregon, but I live out in Westchester.
Westchester? All right.
I'm in Ohio right now, so.
Gotcha. But if you live in the area, what we're going to do is hold on the line. Craig's going to get your information. We're going to send you a gift card for Lou Malnati's, because if you're going to have Marines over, you better have a pizza. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Of course, Jenny. Great to hear from you. And you know what? We're putting rules of engagement in the queue for Semper Film. You can count
awesome.
On it. Thank you so much, Jana. More after this on 720
WGN.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I've decided that's your outro music every time you're done with the news, Rob. Do you like
man,
that one?
I love it.
All right, then. That's your outro.
Very dramatic.
It is, isn't it? Hold on a second. Let me do it again. Hold on. Yeah, that's it. I think we found it. That's your outro. Rob, come on down. Come down to the Showcase studio. We are going to be welcoming Nikki Allen from Knife and Tine. She's our bartender tonight for the weekend wind-up. I think Rob Martier and I have plenty of things to talk about. We've been talking to Sergeant Paraka and Gunnery Sergeant Villarreal. We were talking about the Semperfilm movie. We watched The Great Santini. That was the most dramatic movie we've watched, the most intense movie. And there was a... an attack in the I forgot completely about the sort of not just the family members but this young man named Toomer who the mm-hmm. oldest son befriends in town, goes fishing with him and finds out that he is the target of not just racist bullying but full on, you know, verbal and physical attacks, and it was so hard to watch that, wasn't it, to sort of see that moment.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely very surprising, and it just puts perspective onto how things are today.
It is. And it also is the break with the father and the son where he said, what is it? He asked him if he heard the orders. What is it? I wrote it down the exact way Robert Duvall asked him if he'd heard the orders. He wants him to respond to know that he's heard him say, do not go outside. Do you remember what lines, what he said? I can't remember. And I have to look for the...
Was he yelling repeat? Was he yelling repeat?
No, it wasn't repeat.
It was, something like affirmative or something like that. Nope, I can't find it. Mm-hmm. But in those scenes with Robert Duvall where he kind of gets that he's doing the wrong thing. He gets upset and he gets drunk and gets angry at his family. And there's a moment when he's at the bar and he says, I'm a warrior without a war. He's somebody who has, you know, developed all these skills, all these talents as a premier pilot. And he has nothing, he doesn't know what to do with it. Except for go drink and then lash out at his family, which is hard to watch.
Yes, I mean, I wasn't around back then, obviously, but it seems like that was a common thing during that time. Because if you go back to Heartbreak Ridge, when Clint Eastwood character was checking into his new unit, the major tells him, you need to be put in a glass case that says break during time of war.
Right. Yeah. So it sounds as though during the late 70s into the 80s and 90s, perhaps, mm-hmm. you had all these guys who had seen some of the worst, you know, battles were now kind of sort of doggy paddling mm-hmm. through a lot of it, like, and training and trying to move the military forward. So we've gotten some suggestions. What were some of the things that stuck out for you? Stuck out. What impacted you the most in this movie, Sergeant Paraka?
I think just seeing the interaction between the main character and his family. It was definitely it kind of hit home for me. It made me think about how I interact with my family. Can I do a better job? Because I definitely don't want to be like that. That impacted me throughout the movie.
And as I mentioned before the break, that actually happened to the man on whom this movie is based, mm-hmm. which is kind of crazy and wonderful and heartbreaking at the same time mm-hmm. that he didn't learn it sooner. How about yourself?
The moving aspect of it, whenever we go somewhere, we kind of check into the unit. We know Marines that are already there, brothers, sisters, or friends. So we automatically have friends. We're good.
Yeah.
But to hear the family side of it, I also hear my wife say, like, oh, here we go to this place, you know, and she misses some things from the last place, and we really don't think about that.
Because Blythe Danner, who plays a mom, says, oh, we'll go back. That's what you said about the other place.
We'll go back.
But that's what you said about the other place. Yeah. Oh, and we'll go back there. But that's what you said about the other place.
Yeah, I told her I'll take her back to Hawaii one day. So, you know, maybe one day.
Yeah, Gunny and I were actually talking about that on our way here. He was saying that if I'm missing the last place, then I'm not enjoying the place that I'm at right now.
Interesting. Mm. Well, and that's how I feel about as my son gets older. Like, if I agree with that, I've tried not to mourn. Like, as he gets older, people are like, oh, I miss when he, you know, when my son was two, mm-hmm. or I miss when my son was four. I'm like, but I'm enjoying now. Like, you know,
you have to enjoy the moment. I think a lot of people don't realize that until the moment's gone. Mm-hmm. Just make the most of it, enjoy it, cherish it, because you're never going to get that moment back.
Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things you guys did at the recruit depot, when you're talking about like the breath, that breath is gone. Mm-hmm. You'll never get that breath back. What did you do with that breath? Was I think Red was the martial arts instructor who was doing that segment. Do you remember?
Yes.
Yeah. He did it in a roundabout way, but it made sense and does make sense. Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you guys. Are you sticking around for What's in the Box? I heard you telling Gunnery Sergeant Villarreal how we play What's in the Box.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be playing, but...
you would like to hang around for that?
Maybe if the Gunny wants to stay and watch, I mean...
Excellent. Elliot, you went and saw Star Trek this week. Is that a movie you would suggest? Is that also in the military realm?
Yeah, I would. Actually, at a lot about dealing with giving up or transitioning from wartime to peace. Star Trek, The Undiscovered Country, you know. Captain Kirk has to deal with no longer going to war with the Klingons. It's something. Sergeant Paraka.
Sergeant Paraka is not. I'm guessing you're not a sci-fi fantasy kind of guy.
I'm not a big movie guy at all, to be honest. I like to. I like to just hang out with my family, barbecue, and work out and stuff like that.
Right.
Enjoy life.
Drive down here in traffic on Fridays to watch movies with us.
No, I enjoy it. I do enjoy it. And
because we make you watch movies.
You know, watching that movie, actually, what was the gentleman's name that befriended the son?
Tumor, the actor?
Yes. So when they first started hanging out and he's like, hey, let's go fishing, let's go catch shrimp, let's do stuff like that. I was thinking the whole time, like, you don't see people do that anymore. You don't just make friends like that because now everybody's on their cell phones. Everybody's online, on Facebook, on this and that. You can't just walk up to somebody, become their friend, and go fishing. It doesn't happen.
I'm hearing you say you want to go fishing with somebody.
I know. I say, hey, guys, want to go fishing?
Real quick, by the way, too, Sergeant Paraka puts on a hell of a barbecue.
Yes.
Everyone should try his barbecue. Everyone listening right now, we should all go to his house and do barbecue.
Get your barbecue.
Because it is awesome.
And then can we go fishing? Would you go fishing and then barbecue your fish?
I only caught one fish in my life. And that was on Memorial Day weekend. My son actually caught four before I caught one that day.
Oh, that's fantastic. By the way, did I imagine things when I saw one of the Marines invite other Marines to go play a Pokemon Go at Lincoln Park Zoo?
That wasn't me.
That was Eric. That wasn't you, right?
No, it wasn't me.
No, but it was another Eric, wasn't it?
I encouraged it probably.
It's something to get out there and do something different?
Yeah, they need to go out there and meet people.
Your mic's on, I believe. But there it is.
Marines playing Pokemon Go, it's more intense than like a 16-year-old, right?
I think they're more successful at
it. Get the Pokeballs! Get them! Get it! Pokeballs! Hit the deck!
We're just trying to figure out what to do with all the kids we have in the back of the van now. Oh. We're supposed to let them go?
That's not
Whoa.
I look, Roger Badish is playing. But what did you catch up there, Roger? Yes, Roger? We're waiting.
Uh-oh.
Are you not up? I didn't turn anything differently.
Roger.
You know what happened? A drowsy mess up all your buttons.
No. Those drowsies.
We have to figure out music for him because I've already picked the music for. That's Rob Martyr's music. That can't be Roger's. No. We have to find something else.
I want my own music.
Oh, that's not bad for Roger. No, it's too slow. Oh, way too slow. No. I don't think this is going to work. How about the little sister studio? Roger, is your mic working? No. How are you going to play what's in the box? What's happening?
Oh, there I'm sorry. I forgot to turn my other switch on. I was talking. You couldn't hear me. Drowsies, Venomats, Jinx, Sheldeer, Horsey. I got a whole bunch.
Gunny, are you Gunny VRL? No, are you playing Pokemon Go?
I didn't download the app, and I still got a bunch of kids in my van, so...
You have two kids in your van. All right, I'm not sure how to deal with that information.
And this is a great place because there's tons of Pokeball stations around here.
Now, where is there a gym, and what is a gym?
Well, the closest gym I can see is east of here, about 4 or 5 blocks.
And have you figured out a way for us to create our own gym? Because I want one in the studio, so we just have crowds just outside of the window.
Well, what's a gym? Is it where all the Pokemon...
Well, if you have a Pokeball stop, gym is where you do battle. Yeah. Okay. Pokeball stop is where you collect Pokeballs and other items that you need during your battles. And it's also a place where if you use certain other items that other Pokemon will come in and people can catch them. So if we have them around the Tribune building, people will stand around the Tribune building trying to catch Pokemon.
Because they can catch Pokemon and learn about architecture from all over the world.
That's true.
We have pieces of building from all over. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I think we have to play What's in the Box at 12:30. Can you guys hang out for a little bit more, or do you want us to play right now?
I'm good if the gunny's good.
The gunny's good? Is the gunny good? Who drove?
Gunny drove.
Gunny drove. All right, Gunny. Hold on. More after this on 720 WGN.
Ryan Burrow gets you ready for Rio with the Wintrust Quest for Gold.
Her name may be new to you, but Illinois...
for listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Nikki Allen from Knife and Tine joins us. She is whipping together some Manhattans. And I think we're ready to play What's in the Box. Jim's already on the hold. I said we would play it in a little while. But since he's waiting, I can't make him wait too long. Jim, here's the thing. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. If we start What's in the Box now, we won't have enough time to finish a round. So chances are you and your opponent will have to wait through the news. Do you want to do that or call? Oh, looks like somebody else is calling. Are you willing to hold?
I can wait.
All right. So it'll be like we'll play a few rounds and then we'll have to do the news and then we'll come back and finish up depending, you know, how far we get. So I'm assuming you've heard us play What's in the Box before.
Yeah, probably been up in March, February, March.
Have you tried calling in to play before?
Yeah, February or March.
Oh, you played. I didn't know you had played. I thought you'd heard.
Yeah.
And you didn't win?
I don't remember. I won something.
But it's been enough time has passed for you to play again. So 312-981. Jim, you hold on. We're going to get another contestant. 312-981-7200 if you want to play What's in the Box. And we are going to play. So if you're not familiar with the game, I know we... Oh, look, not that one. That's just sad. That one's calling. 312-981-7200 to play What's in the Box. We have a gift card from Lou Malnati's. Can you do some little boxes for me? Just so people know it's time. That's one of my favorites. Is the Celtic version of it.
On the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes on the hillside, the boxes all the same. There's a green one, and a pink one, and a blue one, and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same. And the people in the houses all went to the university, where they were put in boxes, and they came out all the same. And there's doctors, and lawyers, and business executives, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same.
We've got another contestant. Hey, Jim. This is great. We have Jim on the line, and Jill is on the line. How are you doing, Jill?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very excited that you called in. Have you heard us play What's in the Box before?
No.
So here's what we're going to do. I have a whole folder filled with reviews that I've culled from the internet. I've gone on various websites and I have looked at reviews for various items that people shop for and have delivered to their homes. Do you shop online, Jill?
Yes.
Do you read the reviews before you make a decision on your purchase?
Sometimes.
Well, and I do. I generally do too. She's getting a little bit apprehensive. She's like, wait, what did I get myself into? I was surprised to find out, one, how many things people will write a review for and sometimes how detailed they will be. Now, I will tell you this. We're not going to go into all the detailed reviews that I have to read and edit for this particular game because your task, now that you've chosen to take it on, you have to tell us as we read the review to you if the review is for an appliance or an adult toy.
Okay.
Because I found that the review for a blender or a hand mixer or a toaster is surprisingly similar to that of an adult toy. So that's how we've created the game. Roger, I know that you've pulled some of your reviews. Do you want to start off for us?
I would love to. Who's first?
I believe Jim is because he called in and he's
okay,
been waiting.
Okay, Jim. Here we go.
You can make ladies first.
Oh, you want to do ladies first?
All right.
It's great. Okay, I'm ready.
I'm just saying. It's that kind of night. Ladies might be first. Go ahead, Jill.
One should always make sure that the lady is... never mind. Wow. All right.
I don't know where that went. All right, Jill, you are up and Roger is reading for you.
Here we go. But the great news is I can use the lower settings with people home.
<I'm> sorry. You'd be surprised.
Adult toy.
I think you're right.
Atta girl, Jill. There you go. Well done.
It's very necessary. I'm just saying, I mean, like, depending on, like, if you have an old structure and it's lath and plaster, you're fine. But if you've got drywall, you don't know how that sound carries. Okay, Rob, could you please? I'm just saying, you gotta...
Rob... I think you've explained it enough. I think we all get the general impression.
I just get mine of those concrete walls. It doesn't... it absorbs sound. And then, you know, if you have, like, curtains... Rob, could you please read for Jim?
Yes. All right, Jim, here we go. Best money spent. I love this thing. So many settings, so many speeds. Gets the job done every time and in different ways if I want to.
Could you make sure I get that one back? What do you think, Jim?
I'm going to say it's an appliance.
Oh, Jim, I'm sorry. It's a toy.
Oh.
It's a toy.
I'm gonna read one for Jill. This is a long one. That's why I'm gonna read it. I've never given this anyone because it's so long. The wind-up cord is nice, but it still leaves the plug sticking out the side. So while the cord is out of the way, the plug is still sticking out of the way a few inches. Lastly, the words on the buttons are kind of small. Or maybe my eyes are shot. Anyway, a different color for the cancel button would be great. However, these issues are small, and I'd still buy it again.
Wow.
Appliance.
Hey!
Thank God. All right, Elliot. Jill is up 2-1.
Yes.
And who am I reading for?
You're reading for Jim. I apologize.
All right, Jim, ready?
Yep.
Okay. It's very noisy. I've only used it once, but I'm getting rid of it.
What do you think, Jim?
A toy.
It's an appliance.
Oh,
sorry,
man.
Jim.
Oh, boy. Man. All right, Roger, you will be reading for Jill, who's up 2-0.
All right, Jill, here we go.
Okay.
A bit loud, despite whisper quiet claim.
Wow.
Adult toy.
One might think that, wouldn't they, Jill? But unfortunately, it's an appliance.
Wow.
Oh.
Interesting. All right, Jim, that gives you another shot at catching up here. All right, Rob, will you please read for Jim?
All right, Jim, let's get you in the game here, buddy. You ready?
Yep.
Great product. Size is perfect for my needs.
Oh.
Oh, come on. It's got to be a toy.
Jimmy, it's an appliance.
Wow. No, I
tried to read it like a guy.
To be fair, I think, Jim, that I would have thought that was a toy as well.
Right.
I'm just saying.
All right, Jim. I'm sorry, bud.
Just because I know what my needs are. Elliot, will you please read for Jill? She still had 2-0.
All right. This is actually one of my favorite reviews. Speed counts. I'm a busy mom. I can't wait 30 minutes for a machine to work.
Wow.
Appliance.
That is correct. Yeah.
Wow.
Sounds like a busy woman right there. I think that one covers a lot of territory. All right, Jim, we have one more before we take a break here. Roger, will you please read for Jim?
Sure, and just an important note for all you Pokemon Go people.
Oh, boy.
Apparently you can catch too many. I can't catch anymore.
Well, you can expand the number of spots.
I'm not
you
buying
have.
Any more space.
Or, right. or you cheap. Can transfer your
I saw
Pokemon.
That. I'm about ready okay, to do it. Let's
weed,
get on
weed,
with the game.
Weed whacking here. Weed whacking.
I got your Pokemon.
Yeah,
here.
I got your Pokemon. I got you drowsy. All right. It certainly doesn't lack on power. It has 6 speeds and patterns.
Oh.
Patterns?
Yeah.
Appliance.
Ooh, that's an adult toy.
Yeah, here's the thing about the patterns. It's distracting. Okay, here we go. It's time for a break.
It's like going through the alphabet, right?
It is a little bit in different volume. More after this on 720 WG. Oh, there's no break. So never mind. I got all excited. I was going to try to explain patterns.
I didn't mean to
okay,
get you
Okay, you know
excited.
What? It's kind of, here's the thing about the patterns. It's like Morse code.
Yeah?
Yeah. So that's,
oh, really?
That's what it means by patterns. It's like 1-2-2, 1-2-2-2, 1-3-3-3. Mm-hmm. It does stuff like
Can you have too many patterns?
Yes, you can. Because then you're like, which one? What was the one I liked? Now I gotta rotate all the way back through, and I can't remember which one it was. I think that's your outro right there, Roger. I gotta break
it
down.
I love that song. Get it on. Get it on. Oh, yeah.
I'm figuring this out. I'm learning songs. I don't know any other music. I'm just pushing buttons. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It's Friday night, and every Friday night we do our weekend wind-up with Rob Martier and one of our favorite bars and restaurants. Tonight it is Knife and Tyne, which is actually our first bar and restaurant that we've ever had the pleasure of having in studio. And Carissa Schaefer, the proprietor, came in over 2 years ago now. It was their 1 month anniversary, and we've had the absolute honor of having them in almost every month. Nikki has brought in a Manhattan. Tell us a little bit about the Manhattan, Nikki, if you don't mind.
So what I like to do, I do 2 ounces of your favorite bourbon or rye whiskey, and I use bourbon in this case. It's a little bit sweeter, a little smoother than the sharpness of rye. I do 1 ounce of red wine vermouth, sweet vermouth, a little bit of the cherry juice from the Luxardo cherries, and the Luxardo cherry on top. Nice. And a couple dashes of Angostura bitters. Stir and then pour over ice.
Nice. Well done.
Thank you. I'm glad you guys are enjoying it.
It's delightful. We have with us also in the studio, our Marines are hanging out. They're not playing What's in the Box. They're refraining from being associated with any such event, but they have they've been observing, and we appreciate
that. Conduct unbecoming, yeah.
Is it conduct unbecoming? I think Sergeant Peraga thought about playing one. Didn't I think Sergeant Seidel played? Well, let's not throw anybody under the bus. Craig is nodding yes. I believe he did as well. So we are in the middle of a battle between Jim and Jill. Jill is ahead. Well, so it is a battle. I mean, they're duking it out for the most part. Jim, how are you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
You're hanging in there. Look, there's plenty of time to come back. We've had a chance to recuperate during the news. I believe we left off with you. Roger had read for you. Is that correct? Yes.
Yes.
This is the first time I've ever kept track, so I want everyone to make note of that. I usually completely forget. So right now, reading for Jill is Rob Martyr.
All right, Jill, here we go.
Okay.
Works great, but still trying to figure out the best position to use this to get the results I'm looking for.
Adult time.
Got a girl. Ding, ding, ding.
Otherwise, I mean, like, what are you doing with your hand mixer? Well, I mean, you don't know. Yeah. Besides the bowl. That's four. She's got four now. Let's help. Let's get Jim in here, Elliot. Nikki. Nikki, please read for Jim.
Are you ready, Jim?
Yep.
All right. I received this for my birthday, and I'm very, very happy. I love the smoothness and how simple it is to operate.
Nikki, can you read that again, please?
Yes, please.
Slower.
Slower. Just a little bit slower.
Just a little slower?
Yes, please.
I received this for my birthday, and I'm very, very happy. Mm-hmm. I love the smoothness and how simple it is to operate.
What do you think, Jim?
Toy.
I'm so sorry. It's an appliance.
Oh, what in the world?
I'm sorry.
I've never done this bad.
Can I just say, I have what she's having?
Yeah. Ah, there we go.
There it is. All right, Elliot, please read for Jill. This could be the winner.
Nikki's like right here next to me, and when she apologizes, I get a little kerfuffled here. All right. Okay, Jill, ready?
Yes.
Boom. Let's bring it home.
Okay. Wow.
Amazing. Cannot live without it.
Mm. Well, that's a dull toy.
Sorry, it's an appliance.
Whoa. Wow. All right, Roger, you're reading for Jim.
What's the score again?
4-0.
4-0?
Nothing.
Whoa.
I'm just saying. Right. Yeah, I'm saying. Help a brother out.
Here we go.
All right, then.
I cannot do it. I'll try. All right, never mind.
Do whatever you need to do.
I have a 3-year-old I use every day, and it is still going strong.
Oh, dear. Okay.
That's
what appliance is last?
What do you think, Jim? Oh, sorry.
What? Premature ding-dong.
Yes.
I hate it when that happens.
Was that a premature ding?
No, I don't know. He said appliance. Is that
he
correct?
Said an appliance?
Yes.
He's correct!
Hey! Jim's on the board.
I felt psychic all of a sudden. I don't know. I didn't mean to ding that, Jim. But Roger, are you okay?
I'm Uh-oh. Fine.
All right, then. I went to move it, and it just went like that.
Yeah, okay.
Little, I won't do that again.
Yeah, that's what she said.
All right, that was a preemptive. It was early. I got excited.
That's all right.
All right, then. Will you read for Jill?
I will.
Please.
Jill, here we go.
Okay.
Low speed, a little fast. In general, it serves its purpose. Would recommend.
I'm going with adult toy again.
Jill, I'm sorry. It's an appliance.
Look at this.
It's an appliance.
Opportunities for Jim here. Nikki, please read for Jim.
Are you ready, Jim?
Yes.
If there was a fire in my house, and after saving my dog, this might be the next thing I save.
It's got to be a toy.
No, it's an appliance.
Oh, no!
I love that the men are like, it has to... Oh, really?
It's going like to be like a DeWalt drill or something.
Yeah, I want to know what kind of appliance it is.
There's no way.
There's no way. He's like, look at Jim's... He's contesting the answer.
Like, and send it to the
Jim,
judges.
If I were given the toy reviews, I don't think the radio station can handle it.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Oh, all right, then.
I'm glad I'm sitting down.
All right, then. I think we all are now. Elliot, please read for Jill.
I can't handle Nikki's appliance reviews. All right, Jill?
Yes?
All right, let's bring this home, okay? Ready?
All right. Yep.
All right. Works excellent. We damaged the paddle by accident, our fault, and they sent us a replacement, which was greatly appreciated.
I'm still going adult toy.
It's an appliance.
Ooh. It's actually an ice cream maker, if I recall correctly. Okay, so I'm gonna read.
That's right.
One.
Yeah, that's right.
Here we go. Jill is winning 4-1. Jim, I'm gonna read for you.
Alrighty.
I honestly was not a huge fan of the turn the wheel type activation. I found it very easy to turn this product off by accident. Mm. What do you think, Jim?
Appliance.
I am so sorry. You don't know how upsetting it can be to turn something off by accident. Come on.
Kidding me?
How am I going to get that going again? All right, Roger, please read for Jill. She is on the cusp of winning.
All right, Jill, pay attention. Here we go. I can confidently tell you without hesitation that this is the only one on the market worth getting for those in a morning rush.
Wow. I'm still going adult toy.
One would hope that would be it. Unfortunately, it's an appliance. Honest to goodness. Yes. I think it was a coffee machine that I got that from. Right. Yeah.
I think so, too.
One of those one cup deals.
Instant gratification.
Right.
There's nothing better than having a very stern Marine look at you across the room and go, what are you people doing? Is this why we fight for our country? Yeah. So you can read these ridiculous reviews? Is this really what this country has come to, is one cup deals?
You're right. Free to my ass.
Oh, man. All right. Rob Martier, please. Oh, did you read for just recently?
No, I'm going to read for Jim, I think.
Yes, you are.
Jim?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Keep
first use was amazing, but the second time I attempted to use it, it shorted out completely. Pity.
It really is.
Pity.
Mm-hmm. Toy.
That a boy. Yeah. Well done, Jim.
Yeah.
Look at that. Staying in the game. It's 4-2. All right. Who do we got? Nikki, do you need one? Here you go. This one right there. Nikki, please read for Jill.
All right.
It's 4-2.
It does do what it's supposed to do, and I love that the cleanup is easy, but this thing is loud, and if you buy it, you will see what I'm talking about. Loud.
Is that like a challenge? If you buy it.
I want to go with what I've been saying all along. Adult toy.
Appliance.
Oh.
Jill.
Is it still, what is it, 4-2?
It's 4-2. I think Jill's just aiming at making sure we read all of these.
She just wants to hear more of these.
You got to hear my tiebreakers. Yeah. Go ahead, Elliot.
Let's hear the Yoda voice.
The Yoda voice?
The Yoda voice.
Oh, the Yoda.
All right.
Yeah, Jim.
Oh, here we go.
We're going Yoda on this review.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sergeant Paraka asked for Yoda. He's getting it. And here we go.
Well, beyond just heating things up, this moves.
That's it.
Wait, what? How do you do it again, Yoda?
Do you need me to read it again?
We all do.
Yes, I do.
All right. It takes me a moment sometimes to get back into the character.
Well, beyond just heating things up, this moves.
I want Yoda to just laugh all the time. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah.
I'm going to say a toy.
Regretfully, the Jedi Master says, an appliance it is.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
I don't know what's happening. Roger, will you please read for Jill, who's still on the cusp? All right,
Jill.
Yes?
This is for the kill.
Ooh.
All right?
Got it.
All right. I think Jill's ready for this one. The only disappointing thing about this was that we couldn't go any higher, and it did become quite boring after a little while.
Adult toy.
Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah, Roger's got his own tiebreaker. Hold on a second. We're almost there. Almost there. Almost there. Almost there. Almost there. Almost there.
Yeah! Faster. Faster.
Ding.
Clean up an aisle four, please.
What just happened on this show? All of you should be ashamed and proud at the same time.
Congratulations, Jill. Fortunately, you've both won. Jill has her choice, though, first of an Apt Electronics gift card or a gift card from Lou Malnati's. Both of you hang on the line. That was an epic round of What's in the Box. Thank you so much for playing with us. How have I never said that before? But he just hold on the line. More after this on 720 WGN. We'll all play. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We've had a wonderful evening hanging out with Sergeant Paraca and Gunnery Sergeant Villarreal, and they were here for our Semper Film segment. Really want to thank you so much, Sergeant Paraca, for being willing to sort of jump into that. You weren't quite sure what to expect, were you?
No, not at all, but it has been a lot of fun, and it's our pleasure being here.
Yeah, I kind of enjoy watching it through, not through your eyes, but your reaction, because you're a little bit serious when we watch those movies, and Gunnery Sergeant VRL noticed that I react. I'm not like, I don't talk during the movies, but I'm like, oh, no, I do a lot of that. So thank you for hanging out with us. It's been a pleasure. We'll do it again next month. I have a couple of ideas, and we've got a couple of dates that we're working on. But if people have questions about joining the Marines, if they have a family member who's interested and they have, you know, they're kind of curious, where can they go?
Well, first off, if we have anybody still on Facebook out there, type in Chicago Marines, like our page, and you can message me there. I'll reply within a few minutes. Or you can visit marines.com and get any information you're looking for in the Marine Corps.
And do you have any events coming up? Because I know that you were at the Cubs game today doing the color guard.
Yes, I had the pleasure of carrying our national colors out onto the field for the national anthem when it was sung. And we do have some events coming up. We're going to be at the Cuban Festival down in Oak Park area, the 12th, 13th, and 14th. We'll be up at Six Flags throughout the summer, so come stop by, say hi. We'll be there on Saturdays, so you can come do the pull-up challenge, maybe win a T-shirt.
Or the, I did the, what's this
the
one called?
The flexed arm hang for the ladies.
See, I'm telling you, we have to make a difference here.
We do.
This starts in kindergarten. This starts in gym class with girls being able to, you know, not just be encouraged to do it, but held to a similar standard. I think at 5 years old, girls can do the same physical tests.
I agree. I see some ladies out there that were in gymnastics and could do more pull-ups than me.
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So go on out and check them at the at Great America. What area are you in for Great America?
We're not sure yet, but just venture around the park. You'll find us.
All right. Then. Yeah. I will text you because we're season pass holders. We're heading out next week. You said Saturdays?
Yep.
All right, then.
Not every Saturday. We have select dates. I'll talk to you later.
No, I understand. Yeah. I get it. You know, just figure it out. So that's Sergeant Paraca, Gunnery Sergeant VRL. We'll see you next month for Semper Film. Have a safe trip home, and thank you again for all of our listeners. I know that they all thank you, as Jana mentioned earlier. Thank you for everything that you do for our country and for our safety.
We definitely appreciate the support.
Thank you. And be safe. I know it's awkward. I told you, you can go. You can hang out here or go. But I have Rob Martier is down here for the weekend windup. Elliot Serrano joins me as well, and so does Nikki. You know, let me ask Nikki something, because you're I would say significantly younger than I am. I'm just gonna go ahead and say that. That's fine. Did you watch last night's you did not watch the convention last night?
I would have if I was at home. I didn't have cable where I was staying. I was staying in a hostel last night, so no television in my hostel.
Well, are you planning to watch any of this? It's different, I think, probably, when you're like, okay, I'm catching up, and I know people are posting about this, and you're saying I'm with her, and deal me in, and things like that.
I didn't watch a single minute of it, but just seeing my friend's Facebook updates.
Oh, it's been crazy.
I know just tidbits of what happened. And
I have to say, Rob, I didn't expect to be that overwhelmed and that excited to be, I don't know. I just... when Hillary Clinton first was running with Bill Clinton back in 1991, 1992 for the presidency, I remember that controversy. I mean, that's how, Nikki, that's how old I am. Go take a picture with him. That's okay. I can see. Absolutely. How do you not take pictures with Marines?
Absolutely.
Please, I took
one. You got to.
You have to. I remember the first controversy. I mean, I'm sure there were other ones. Obviously, there were allegations of Bill Clinton being a womanizer, of cheating on his wife. Mm-hmm. That happened in Arkansas. What I remember about Hillary Clinton in the 90s was, before they became the first couple, she was in an interview and she said, I'm not going to stay home and make cookies. And people got really different. People had different reactions. For the most part, there was a lot of outrage. And I was of the age where I was like, I don't want to make cookies either. I'm not good at it. So I didn't. But it sounded snotty. It sounded condescending, was the way it was received. And I think that's been the tone that people hear. You hear what you want to hear sometimes, right? So that's, I think that's been something. And then when she started pushing for universal health care, there was a big pushback. She's had 40 years in the, is it 45 years now? It's been 45 years.
Yeah, give or take.
Since they've been in the national spotlight.
She's still, as long as she has been in the national spotlight and advocated for things that are important to her, I still view her as a very uncomfortable politician.
I agree, and I don't think that she would have sought this out.
Right.
I think that she was an advocate who, I mean, she made sure that children had access who have disabilities to education. Mm-hmm. She went undercover to make sure that there were policies that were not being infringed upon for kids who were trying to just get, you know, go to school. I don't know that she, I don't think she ever sought the public limelight, but once you're there and you realize what you can accomplish, I think that she, I think she, you're right. She's an uncomfortable politician,
well,
but she's grown into it.
It's the yin and the yang of Bill and Hillary, right?
Right.
I mean, you have a charismatic president, despite all of his shortcomings, still beloved to this day.
Right.
I mean, his reaction at the Democratic National Convention alone is evidence enough that he is still very popular. But then you have Hillary Clinton, again, a little wonky, a little, you know, uncomfortable. Let's use that word. I mean, because I think it's a safe word to use for her. And it's just, it's not natural for her. But, you know, you want to take a look at her speech. You and I spoke about it yesterday briefly, and it did what it was supposed to do. It did what it was designed to do. She didn't fail miserably, but she didn't hit a home run either. I gave her a double.
Right,
I gave her a double. It was a solid speech.
I appreciate that. I don't know that I would say, like, I wouldn't say grand slam. I would say an in the park homer.
So okay, yeah,
that didn't go over the wall.
That's fine.
Elliot, if we're gonna do, did you watch the entire speech, Elliot?
Oh yeah, I watched it.
And what was your impression of it?
I wanted to give everyone a hug afterwards.
I wept before she even said anything. And I was trying to hurry up. We were behind. I was trying to catch up with other speeches before that, including Chelsea's. I was sending clips to Craig. I'm like, play this and play that. And we can play some of it after the 1 o'clock.
Well, I was also thinking that one of the things she did really great was the If You Believe.
Oh, join us.
Do you want to hear a little bit of that right now? Because I think that is sort of your inside the park-ness of the whole thing.
Yes.
If you believe that companies should share profits, not pad executive bonuses, join us. If you believe the minimum wage should be a living wage and no one working full time should have to raise their children in poverty, join us. If you believe that every man, woman, and child in America has the right to affordable health care, join us. If you believe that we should say no to unfair trade deals, that we should stand up to China, that we should support our steel workers and auto workers and homegrown manufacturers, then join us. If you believe we should expand Social Security and protect a woman's right to make her own health care decision, then join us. And yes, if you believe that your working mother, wife, sister, or daughter deserves equal pay, join us.
The one thing I remembered when I saw that live last night was scrunching Social Security with women's reproductive rights was the only one that she hadn't done that with the other things. Those were all isolated, was, you know, health care, mm-hmm. minimum wage. But last week when Ivanka Trump spoke, she said she was talking about the inequality of pay. And she said that actually it's mothers who earn less. If you're single and you don't have children, you earn about 94%, which isn't still equal, but significantly closer than 79%. But if you are a mother, then you earn less. She said, so actually motherhood is the barrier, not gender. However, I would argue that all mothers are women. So that would still actually be gender-based.
Tough argument. Tough argument to make the counter there.
I can't combat that. I haven't. I haven't heard of any father that is a mother.
I'm just saying. I think that they're.
Although some may be called a mother.
Yeah,
Rob,
mother.
You are a bit of a mother. If you ask me.
So I mean that. I mean there is a difference. Oh,
I believe America thrives when the middle class thrives. I believe our economy isn't working the way it should. Because our democracy isn't working the way it should. That's why we need to appoint Supreme Court justices who will get money out of politics and expand voting rights, not restrict them. If necessary, we will pass a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United. I believe American corporations that have gotten so much from our country should be just as patriotic in return.
I've heard so many people talking about the fact that they're being left behind. I think the middle class has fallen farther and farther behind as we are doing better because the stock market has improved under Obama's administration, whether or not that's because of any sort of legislation or actions he's taken mm-hmm. or just a natural recovery in the economy. If there is, whether there's job creation, if there's better access to things, but there are people who are not having access. What causes that set? What causes that distance, do you think? Is it because we spend too much money on social services? Is it because too many people are taking advantage?
Well, I've always thought, left or right, that on the local, state, and federal level, our money is terribly mismanaged. I mean, from top to bottom, it really is. And you've heard this saying over and over again from both sides of the aisle. It's not that this country, our state, our county, our municipalities right. have a income problem. We have a spending problem. And again, it goes to mismanagement. It goes to misallocation. It goes to putting money in the wrong place at the wrong time and very little, although it's getting better, really no oversight until, you know, the proverbial you-know-what hits the fan.
Well, and I think there are too many overlapping bureaucracies.
That too. And that's what I'm saying. You know, yeah. just misallocation and you know, just mismanagement.
Yeah, not knowing what the left hand is doing, right?
And a lot of redundancies.
I mean, even when I'm driving through, whether it's Chicago or Springfield, I think, really, do you have to leave your lights on at night? I mean, it's something as simple as that. It seems like your electricity bill is still being paid mm-hmm. by the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. There are little things that I always feel like we can do. Even, look, I talked to some legislators, and the look on their face was like, I don't know what to do with that information. So I will make this on a very personal level. When we talk about social services, I've often talked about my son Declan, mm-hmm. who has a disability. When he was about 2.5 years old, we were told, you really got to try this place. They have such a great program. There is a speech therapist, a physical therapist, a developmental therapist, a social worker, and I can't even remember. There were supposed to be 5 people. And it was 3 days a week for almost 3 hours. So 15 hours a week. And they were making $1,500 a week for this class. That's how much they were charging my insurance company. Mm-hmm. And this was through early intervention. When we would get there, the class was supposed to, actually it was 2.5 hours because it was from 9 a.m. until 11:30. So 2.5 hours. So it's not actually 15. 3 days, that was 9 hours. I'm doing all the math wrong. I'm so angry about it, and I've tried to explain this to so many people. So it was about 2.5 hours, 3 days a week. So that ends up being six. What can you do that for me? Six, seven.
2.5 hours, 3 days a week.
right?
So that's...
I gotta do the math. Hold on a second.
Seven and a half hours.
7.5 hours at $1,500 a week, mm-hmm. okay? So we would get there at 9 a.m., and they would start about 15 to 20 minutes late. And they would ask us to stay because in case something happened, it wasn't like a drop-off program. And we would have to pick them up. We'd be there about 11:10. So it would end about, again, 15 to 20 minutes early. And there was never a social worker. So for all the therapists that they said were available, there was one short. And here we were charging our insurance company $1,500 a week. And I've told that. I actually filed a complaint with the state of Illinois. And the place is still open. I don't know if they're still charging $1,500 a week for a program. We ended up leaving for various reasons, but I've told that to some of our legislators and they look at me like, well, if we get down to that, then what if we're cutting off service to somebody else? I'm like, no, this is specific. Go after that facility. They're charging for a provider that's not actually showing up on location for 3 days of work. For however much a month, that's like $400 a week. How many times is that happening all across the state of Illinois? Now you have providers who are providing services who aren't getting paid. And it's because we are spending money that actually isn't being used in other places. So you're right. Yeah. I do think that there's a lot of inefficiency and people are afraid to pull that thread because like, oh, then someone loses something. We're all losing something when you're inefficient.
Yeah, and your family's situation is a great example of where money should be going. Mm-hmm. You know, it really should be. And all across the board and many other stories like yours. But unfortunately, because of the largesse of government and the greed, if you will, of certain sections, they've just sapped those resources, especially here in the state of Illinois. I mean, Patty, I can recite the numbers for you up one side and down the other. And that's why money is not going to those who most need it. That's exactly what's happening.
We are at a point in our history where it seems like everyone should be doing better if the stock market is going this well. How are you doing, Elliot?
I'm well. I'm waiting for somewhere for me to disagree with Rob.
No, actually, but
I'm not. I'm like, he's like, wow.
And we've heard it on both sides of the aisle. We've heard this cliche phrase of just because Wall Street's doing well doesn't mean Main Street's doing well. And that's exactly what we're seeing going on right now because Wall Street is hitting record numbers. Those on Wall Street and those who can invest are doing well for themselves. But again, if you take a look at how companies mm-hmm. are reaping these record profits and raking in all of this money, it's because there have been cutbacks. It's because there have been layoffs. It's because there haven't been wage increases. All of these things add up to those profits for these companies on Wall Street. That's why people are feeling disenfranchised.
I think there's also an inflexibility when it comes to corporate America. When Steve was working full time, he had a great job with a company called the Financial Relations Board. And I thought, you know, there was a moment when the recession was...
Dan,
let's get to eight. No chance to teach your children phone manners or more importantly about safety. How do you rehearse them to say polite things? May I please take down your name and number and have her return your call? Things like that.
Have you done that with your kids?
No, I have not.
I did that with mine.
And you should never say that your parent is not home. My mom's not home right now.
They know that.
They know that.
But they don't. They know it doesn't work because they're on their own phone.
Do they? How old were they when they got their own phones?
About 2.5. Sorry. So Nate was probably 11.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then Cooper, of course, because he was the second one. Cooper was the second one. He got the phone younger. But so the manners thing is interesting. I'm troubled by the manners. I don't think I did a good job of teaching my children manners at the table.
I've noticed that when I've taken Griffin out to dinner and stuff like that. I'm working on teaching him, talking to him about ordering too, right? Because it's kind of it's almost like a strange public speaking moment where you're talking to a stranger. I don't know. He seems to get nervous.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in so much trouble. I'm so sorry, Griffin.
He's
been listening to my podcasts. And the other night I was talking about changing our front door lock to a push pad, like the keypad, because it's warped and he struggles to open it. And he goes, I wake up one morning and he goes, Mommy, I can open our front door to save my life. So I was like, I don't know what happened.
I finally understand what that phrase means now.
I told him I'm gonna
open a door to save his life. You mean It's clarity.
Yeah. So don't you know? I've heard that phrase a million times.
To save his life. And because I was saying, what if he's being chased? And he goes,
needs
I could.
To save his life.
Right. And I said, okay, let's go downstairs. I'm going to stand right behind you, and I'm gonna start screaming at you, open it, open it, open it. Come on, do it, do it now. So, by the way, that reminds me, in just a few hours, at about 9:30, I will be on the WGN Morning News to talk about my bad parenting moments, including sharing personal stories about my son on the radio and embarrassing him.
That's really, yeah, those are pretty good stories, though. I mean, as a parent, they can be a lot more, you know,
the other story,
personal, or a lot more like, you know, like,
or embarrassing, yeah.
Humiliating.
Yeah, the stories that they gave me examples of the other people on the panel, I was like, oh, I've never done that. I was trying to think of like the worst I've ever felt as a parent. I mean, mostly I feel bad when I've let a cold go too long and it turned out to be a bad ear infection or, you know, bronchial thing that I should have been better about staying on top of. But I remember the first time I thought, oh, I'm a horrible person. I was carrying a Griffin in a car seat, you know, the one with the handle. You know, you just like take him anywhere. And I was holding the keys in the same hand and the keys fell on Griffin's face. Oh. And that moment of the look on his face and he was like frozen. And then just the cry as though like, what is wrong with this world where heavy things just fall on my face was what he looked like. But that, I remember that's the worst I ever felt. I know.
How many keys did you have?
It was like, you know, yeah, house keys.
It was like a Schneider's ring. Like
Schneider from One Day to
Time.
There
were no marks on his face or anything, but I've got the garage key, the garage key. I got the front door key. I've got the car key, a basement key. Yeah, I've got like about six
you
or seven
the
keys.
You got the wine cellar key. You got the cellar key.
Car keys.
So, yes.
Is there another? I'm just kind of curious about this phone thing.
Now you want to know the rest. Acquiring information with a landline. If the person you phoned was busy and told you to hold on for a minute while they set the phone down, you could detect the entire mood of a household. Was a baby crying? Was a romantic music playing? Was a television playing? That's true. When you just put the phone down, yeah. I'll be right back. You could hear like background noise.
That's true.
You could hear it.
It wasn't manufactured background noise.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a peek into someone's household. No finding out what people really think about you. I'd call my sister's house. She'd pick up the kitchen. My brother-in-law would pick up the landline in their bedroom. I'd recognize the opportunity for what it was and instantly keep quiet. So they would talk about like, who's on the phone? It's Dan. Oh, I don't want to talk to Dan. I don't really like him. He's just really annoying.
Your brother-in-law's name is Dan?
No, I'm just saying.
Your sister-in-law.
So, I mean, you can kind of hear the background.
She was talking about me. I get it.
I had one of my best friends in high school. She called and wanted if I wanted to go out, and I did not. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to say a word that maybe a lot of you don't like. But I didn't want to go out, and she was kind of mad at me. And you know when you used to put the phone down, and it would just kind of click, but it didn't hang up right away? And I kind of picked it up, and I heard her yelling, "Bitch!" into the phone. She thought I'd hung up. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that was surprising. So you do. There are things that you can find out. Because I didn't want to go out that night. I was like, wow.
She's pretty angry.
Weird criteria.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you end up continuing to be friends with her?
I've never told her about that. Yeah. We've been friends since we were in first grade, actually.
Oh, my goodness. It's going to be a tough day tomorrow. A lot of phone calls. I'm worried about Griffin, the old friend.
You're just going to pick up the phone.
This
and that's
is
all you're
private information dump on the radio. 30 states? 37 states?
38 states in Canada.
38 in Canada.
Plus we're online.
The entire Canada. All of it, right?
All of it. And parts of Canada.
Parts of it?
I think.
Like where?
I'm going to say, I don't know. I'm Manitoba? I don't know. What do you?
Alberta?
Winnipeg?
Quebec?
312-981-7200. Give us the reverse charges if you can call us from Canada. We'd appreciate it.
Oh, I'd love it.
Or you can text us. 312.
If you're in Banff right now.
Oh, very
I'd
nice.
I'd love to hear
How about Flin Flon?
See, it's a good thing about not having a landline. You call from the cell. It's all the same price.
Exactly.
What?
She's right.
I know you're right. My wife and I are going to
Banff.
Banff.
Quebec for our anniversary.
See, Quebec.
Quebec. Quebec. Well, where in Quebec?
September Banff. 7th.
Where are you going? What part?
We're going to the city. We're going to Quebec City.
Okay.
Oh, that's lovely, too. Yeah.
We were thinking about going there this summer, and I forgot that the boys need passports. More after this on 720 WGN. It's too late. I'm learning some of the new buttons again, so. All right. They're dancing. Keep dancing. Your hat's on backwards now. I like it, Senator. What? Yep. We are calling Treasurer Frerix for our pretty late wake-up call.
Well, good.
He's a heavy hitter.
You know, he might be up still. It's almost 3 a.m.
He's at the convention there.
I guarantee you.
Yeah, guarantee.
I guarantee. Let's put money on it that he's going to be up.
I've got it.
Quarter.
I'll bet you he's in his nightcap. He's got like a.
He does seem like the kind of guy who
Dickens right now in his nightcap.
Exactly. He seems like the kind of guy who would have a nightcap, though. He does.
Does he have like a night like a? Oh, he's a tall guy though.
Yeah, he's very lanky though. Very Ichabod Crane-ish.
Wait, Treasure. Do we have him? I don't hear
him.
Oh.
See,
it's Patty Vasquez from WGN Radio. We didn't hear the ring. We're calling from WGN. This is Patty Vasquez. We have
Craig Collins,
Esmeralda Leon,
Dan Katowski, Scott Stantis.
Good morning. Did we wake you up?
I was getting ready to go to bed.
I told you. You're right. I win.
Are you wearing a nightcap? We're having this discussion.
Am I wearing a nightcap?
Yes.
No, nor a kerchief.
And he's not reading Dickens. We're all very disappointed. Are you in Philly?
I am in Philly.
How did the evening go?
You know, it's really lame compared to 2008 when you know, some young party animals rented a RV, drove out to Denver, crashed a lot of parties, stayed up late night. You just don't have that spirit in a state senate anymore.
Senator Katowski, is he alluding to something that we should know more about?
Yeah, it's one of my colleagues who's no longer there.
two of my former colleagues are no longer there.
There's so many people left the Senate, I can't even keep count anymore.
Who was the other colleague?
I don't know, some guy.
What is happening? I feel like this is the best moment that we've had.
Yes.
Together on the show. And
how are you, Treasure Friends?
Who are you chilling with? Who did you hang out with in Philly? Who were your sans Senator Katowski? Who replaced him?
There's this guy, John Culleton, his wife Pam.
Oh, okay.
Sat next to me tonight.
Saw you look good on TV, buddy.
Hey, thanks very much.
Yeah.
I learned from those two guys how to like get front row.
Wait, you in the front row?
Bold.
How annoying is it when Treasure Frerich sits in front of you? The dude's like 6'9".
It's not if you sit on his shoulders.
You should ask Leader Terry Link.
In front of him?
He was the one who was sitting behind me.
I would imagine a lot of people were standing. Were people standing for most of Hillary's speech, or were they all sitting?
Well, that's the worst when I'm standing.
Yes,
it
would.
It feels like just fine when we were both sitting.
And it sounds like it was a very, you know, there were so many things going on this week. There was all the drama with the DNC leaks and then the Bernie Sanders supporters. And then even last night, that video with Rahm Emanuel, with, you know, kind of throwing Rahm Emanuel under the bus for the Obamacare bill. What was the reaction to that? I want to know if there was any rumblings. Can you share any of that?
I cannot share any rumblings.
Okay.
I didn't hear much about it.
Okay.
I think it was. It got a lot of press in the media. I didn't hear a lot of people talking about it.
Okay.
Here on the floor, but you know, I think most people were talking about the secretary, the speeches here. You know, the mayor had a party last night. Maybe it was a big topic of conversation there. But you know, I just don't have the stamina, the energy that a young Dan Katowski does. I never seem to speak.
Well, since we have you on the line, I want to make sure that people do know about some of the work that you're doing and finding unclaimed funds.
I was trying to do you a solid, get you on the radio.
I just pointing out what an energetic, hardworking guy you are.
There isn't a better guy in Illinois politics right now than this guy on the phone.
Interesting.
Mike Frerichs. He's a good man.
So can we hear his name tossed around for running for governor?
You're going to hear his name tossed around for a lot of things.
I don't know. That doesn't...
Good stuff.